Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune it, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls, hey, we the ish
hey,
girls.
Hey girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
How are we all? We hope you all enjoyed last week's episode with James. This week we've got a different kind of guest for you guys, but before we introduce him, I would like to let you all know it is the start of the month, girlies, and you know what time it is. That means it is the best time to sign up to our Patreon, which is our exclusive, extra juicy podcast that comes out every single Friday. Lindsay, what did we talk about last month? Just so they can have an insight of what we chat about over
okay,
there.
Let's see what we talked about. Can we break the menstrual stigma? So that was a good one, and we were spilling some piping hot tea. So we were discussing the fact that on Instagram we were seeing a load of bitches with a pack of tampon or always next to them in a pic, and how just shit that is, and how talking about these things openly, and you know, we're the people to do that. Leave that to us. So yeah, that's over on X Gals. Once a cheater, always a cheater. That was a burner episode where we ask if you sign up to X Gals, you get exclusive access to our burner phone where we use like voice messages and messages from you, and we play them on X Gals on the episodes, and we asked your experiences with being cheated on.
One of my favorite episodes, I have to say, from last month was our episode we did with Des Bishop. He was obviously like an icon in, like, you know,
he's a household name.
He's a household name. He's an icon in Irish comedy, but he is also just so fucking funny. And like, he obviously used to have a podcast called The Shift where he would talk about sex. And we were like, we need to get this guy on because there's so little like straight fellas who want to talk about sex with us, and not in a creepy way, like just in a completely
in the open way. Yeah.
But obviously, one of the most interesting things that just was very serendipitous is like, Des has a new fucking girlfriend who is on this huge reality show, and he spilled all the tea about the meeting. We talked about like sex in the first date. Is he cool with that? We talked about arsehole fingering. Yes, there I said it.
I think we talked about tongues going up arsehole.
Oh yeah, we did.
Rimming was discussed for a long moment, and I mean, how bizarre. We haven't even met Des Bishop, but here we are via Skype. He was in the Hamptons, but that like was like
11 a.m.
11 a.m, yeah.
Talking about rimming.
Bacon rim.
Yes, and then obviously we also have now added an extra podcast for our Triple X Gals, which is the $10 tier. So they get a quickie every month. To be honest, the quickie is just a full-length podcast.
Yep. We can't shut up.
They're always about an hour long, but we talk about like a juicy topic. We talk about something that like caught our attention.
Something topical, yeah. One that we talked about, our first one, we did the whole Jess Brennan, Berlin, everything that went on, our thoughts, just discussing the virality of that. And then we did an episode on blackfishing and just our thoughts about the whole kind of this new word.
As a cultural phenomenon, you know, when we talked about, obviously within that we ended up talking about catfishing and just like our experiences. You were catfish, you spilled that tea. So
yes,
we go sign up. So that is on patreon.com/itgalspodcast. If you need more convincing, go on our website. There's an FAQ section there with 10 of our most frequently asked questions about Patreon.
And testimonials.
I was just about to say, all of our testimonials from our gorge ex-gals.
And also on X Girls, which we brought up, Discord. So there's also a chat room which is only exclusive for X Girls. If you're not an X Girl, you get booted out automatically. Yeah. So if you are an X Girl, you're able to talk. There's lots of different subgroups. It's a chat room where you can just connect to other X Girls. They're making friends.
It's popping off every week now. They're like, anyone want to go for brunch? Anyone want to go meet up? Anyone want to go? We've also got like a Discord channel for X Girls living abroad. We have like people living in different places kind of connecting. So it's really, really cute. There's just a community element
that's constantly building.
That is just like, so I mean, the community element on X Girls is like nothing else. It's really something that Lindsay and I are so shocked and like happy with, proud of, you know. So if you're interested, if, as I say always, if one episode a week is not enough for you. If you listen to It Gals and are just fucking chomping at the bit for another episode, it's $6 a month. You can go on over there. Less than a price of like a coffee, basically, in this day and age.
Exactly.
And you will get a weekly podcast. There's no minimum sign up fee. You can sign up for 1 month, cancel next month, sign up the next month, you know, and anytime you cancel, you still get access for the full month. And you get access to over 90 podcasts that have already been
and fucking, live streams.
Yes. There's just so much fucking content on there. We could go on and on and on.
On and on. And that's where we will be building as well.
Absolutely. So this week on the podcast, Lindsay, we have a really exciting guest. His name is Fergal Harrington, and he is the owner, girlies, drum roll please, literally, of Ireland's biggest matchmaking and dating service. What? And can I say?
On Grafton Street.
On Grafton Street. And of course, a fucking, I'm pretty sure an ex-gal works for him and set us
yes,
up.
Yes, she set
him.
Us up. She was
she
like,
matchmade us.
She matchmade us. And it, this conversation was so eye-opening. It was the first male that we had on the podcast who was just able to completely speak straight. Oh. Because he's had so much experience from men calling up in their 70s being like, right, no, I'm ready to settle down. And he just spilled the tea, what we're doing wrong with dating, what we need to do, mistakes that women and men are making, and like, you know, being more realistic to get what you want
and what men are looking for. I found mm-hmm. that really, really interesting. We grilled Fergal, and we obviously, Lindsay also put up a question box, and we got loads of your questions. We pretty much answered them all by the time we even got the questions, because yeah. he just gave us so much content. But this is just such an interesting, you know, we're all used to Tinder, we're used to Bumble, and we're also used to just being fucking let down by Tinder and Bumble. It's something that Lindsay and I hear so much on the podcast, people writing in, how do I meet guys, or you know, Tinder's shit, why is there so many fuck boys, all the rest.
Yeah,
or like,
or it never, like, you know, we're just WhatsApping, we never actually meet up sometimes. And I've said this so many times, like Jenny and I have had this conversation, if ever we're arguing with our fellas, we're like, so you know, you want a mediator, you want someone else in the room, because oh you know God, when you're yes. fighting with your fella and you're like, if there was someone else, they would be like, you bastard, listen to her, you
totally.
Know the
way it's like when they're like, I didn't say that, and I'm like, yeah.
You said it 5 seconds ago,
you literally fucking, the words come out of your mouth, you are insane. Yeah. But yeah, like there was just,
they'd have a matchmaker to kind of like yeah. create something, because sometimes, like, you know, I'll go for guys and Jenny and my friends are like, why are you going for him? Mm-hmm. He's so not what you need right now. And I'm like, what?
And you need an unbiased opinion, mm-hmm. because that is the best thing, that, you know, when your friends say to you, like, of course, you're like, you don't fucking know. But it's like when, you know, almost like he runs this agency with his wife, which is just such a nice like, yeah. element of it too. So, you know, because I wouldn't really trust him as like some bachelor. I'd be like, how the fuck would you know who I am? It's like, okay, you're
yeah,
married.
Matthew
with-
Hussey, yeah. poor example.
Yes, a player.
He don't have a wife.
No, I'm sorry. We
you, I would love to have him on the damn pod.
We're going to try get him on the fucking podcast. But this was just a really interesting like local insight, because, you know, matchmaker, yeah. who knew?
His knowledge about Irish men yes. was so interesting. Yeah. And I was mind blown. But and it was like things that were so obvious to yeah. me, but that I just didn't, wasn't aware of or something. Yes. He was like, I really, really loved this conversation that we had. So hope you gals learn lots like we did.
Yes, and let us know what you learned, what you agreed to, what you disagreed to. Who gives a fuck? Let's have a chit chat and listen and enjoy, gals. And we will talk to you next week.
So with us, we have Mr. Fergal.
Mr. Fergal Harrington.
Mr. Fergal Harrington, yeah, of intro matchmaking fame. Myself, my wife, Rena, set this up about 10 years ago. So we're based there on Grafton Street, and we cater for all sorts of people from all over the country, from 20 up to 88 at the moment, and everything in between. So we get lots of little stories that we can share with you, hopefully, throughout this podcast.
Yes.
Thanks for yeah. the invite.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for coming on. 88.
88.
Yeah, yeah, I know. 88. Never too late.
And
never
shout out to Roisin.
Yes. Roisin Carthy, thank you very much for
Roisin
making
is
this happen.
Yes, an yeah. ex-gal and an it-gal who works for your matchmaking services. So she was the hookup. So shout out Roisin for
yes.
getting this together.
This is why we're all here. So we are dying to hear about, like, so how did you get into this? What's your background? And
so my brother was a singer-songwriter, and he lives over in San Francisco, and he left about 22 years ago. He was best friends with Rena back in the day. And so when he went over and he was singing a lot over there, he realized, oh, Rena is running a couple of radio stations over in Ireland. I might get her to play some of my songs. So he did. She did. And when he came back to Ireland for a visit, he said, I need to say thanks to her. And the only Irish way to say thanks is to buy her an elf drink. And we said, okay, I'll come along with you. And he said, well, she's single, by the way, now, and you are too. So Owen, my brother, was the reason why myself and Rena got together. And within a week of us sort of on our first date, I said, okay, I'm going to bring you on an actual first date, proper first date. So I brought them to Michael Bublé, her and two of her friends. And so she's like, Jesus, okay. And then I rang her a few times to say, hey, how are you? What's going on? And she's like, why is my phone ringing? Why is this guy ringing me? Why isn't he just texting, the big weirdo? And so I hate texting, and you know, the miscommunication and people take things mm-hmm. up incorrectly. So I was like, no, I'm more about the phone. So I rang her, spoke for hours, and then I said, look, I have to go buy jeans tomorrow. Will you come with me and buy jeans? So she's like, random, but okay. And then we went for a drink in the Bailey after. And I said, you know what? I'm not really interested in seeing anyone else right now. I want to make this exclusive.
Is
what
this
do you think?
Date two?
This is date two.
Oh my yeah. God.
But kind of three, because you'd met for the
yeah.
Yeah.
Third time meeting,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Fleet Street was the first, Bublé second, and then third. Boom.
Okay.
And
her jeans.
Yeah. So my bum
had
looked
she
big
got in,
this. In
the jeans yet?
She got two pairs of jeans.
No.
Oh. Jeez, is that the way we're going to go?
That's how we get down here, guys. So third date, you're asking her to be exclusive. Had you tried her on for size?
Had we tried her on for size?
Did you have sex?
Well,
you're trying to be polite.
Yeah, did we? Good point.
You're unsure. Didn't matter, maybe.
Do you know what? I had moved myself into her house within then 2 months of us first meeting. So I think things would have probably had to have happened prior to that. So
I was consummated.
Is that a gentlemanly enough way of answering that question?
I don't think, we don't need gentlemen around here.
We don't need no gentlemen.
Well, we're not gentle women.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I heard.
Yeah, well, that is also a question that we have got a lot of for later on in the podcast.
When is it right, the right time to?
Is there a right time? Is it, you know, that
we'll
kind of stuff?
We'll get there, though.
Anyway, yeah. I'm happy to talk about that.
Okay, we'll get there. But anyway, so you were trying on your jeans and you decided that
you
want to make a go of this and you're focused.
And I'm happy. And when I know, and I'm quite proactive and I don't like wasting time. I'm very impatient as well, I suppose. So I just said, look, you know, I'm not interested in seeing anybody else. Do you want to make this exclusive? And she said, Jesus, yeah, I suppose I do. But she wasn't prepared for that at all, because she's not used to Irish men being in any way proactive. It's usually the procrastination is the biggest issue that we come across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, we'll see how it goes and we'll see what happens. Sure, maybe. Ah, sure, I don't know. Sure, I have time yet. I'm only 35. Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that kind
so
of
way. True. So,
this diddly eye kind of, Irish, sure, we're grand. So I said, no, let's just do this. And we did. And then I moved in, and then we were walking the dogs, Bob and Rascal, and we said, two labs. And we said, look, do you know what? There's an awful lot of our friends and colleagues and family members who are saying how pissed off they are with not meeting anyone genuine and normal and grounded and down to earth. And there's all sorts of lunatics going online and meeting people who just, they don't know what they want. They don't know who they want to be. And therefore, it's a bit of a big mess of a situation. And you end up usually losing the confidence that you once had and becoming more and more insecure in yourself. And we said, let's just actually try and become the wingmen for people who lost the wingmen in their lives.
Okay, so that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, you're in your early 30s and everyone's getting married and they're all having babies. Oh, I have two babies now and I'm going to christenings every other weekend, and you're happy for your friends, but you're like, I kind of want that too. What am I doing about it? Oh, I'm on a free dating app. All right. And then we're like, oh yeah, well, the free dating apps aren't going to work all the time because you don't know who you're meeting and you can make multiple profiles. So we said, let's become the most private and confidential matchmaking agency in the country that actually verifies everyone's identity in advance of them making an appointment, and also sort of limits the nonsense, limits the madness, limits the unbelievable expectations, and keeps people grounded. And that's what will lead to success ultimately. So we kind of set up as a GP surgery for dating.
Okay.
It's like a private market rather than like a completely like free market, like the way Tinder is. It's just like anyone can join. It's not verified whatsoever. Obviously, there are some success stories, but like, I think, you know, from what we hear a lot about from our listeners is like, they've basically completed Tinder. They're like, it's the same guys.
This is it. And the most frequently asked question to us on the phone is, are there any decent people left? And I say, yeah, sure. Well, where are you looking? And they say, Tinder, POF, Bumble. I was like, yeah, right back at you. That's your point. That's the problem. So you're looking for this knight in shining armor. You're looking for the long-term commitment, the family. You're looking for the marriage. You're looking for all those things, but yet not paying for it. Not paying a cent for it. And, you know, I have one story that always scares the daylights out of most people. I know of a person, wasn't a member, by the way. She goes to work every day and she adopts 10 different profiles, 5 male, 5 female, and comes up with these different sort of ideas of what they could be like, the characteristics and the traits and the qualities. And then she approaches girls. She sets up this amazing profile of this guy, picks up a Google image of a good looking guy, and, you know, approaches this girl who she once knew but just fell out with.
Oh. And so she's catfishing.
Yeah. She'll say all the right things that a woman would want to listen to and hear from a guy.
Yeah.
And then sets up a date. Then the nice girl goes on the date. The fictitious guy doesn't, because he's fictitious. And she'll take photographs of that person.
Oh, so she's an evil bitch.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And not right. Not right. And no. When you have that kind of mental health issue all sprooned about or strewn about.
Oh, as in, know, like, yeah, that can be a big factor on dating apps.
Massive, massive. Yeah. And the reason she's doing this is not to get back at women, but to get back at men in some weird way, because a guy that she was approached by said, oh, I haven't been with a woman now in about 2-3 years since my late wife passed, you know, it's hard, it's hard. And we're like, she's like, oh, this poor man, he's got 2 kids and everything. So he invited her over to the house for lunch someday, and all these photos of the family on the walls, and she thought, how hard must it be? The photos are still up. And then this guy is so lovely, and he hasn't been with anyone for 3 years. Oh God. So she was. And so then they go out for lunch. Then her and her friends, and the friend's mother was there, and she tells the story of this lovely, nice widower man who's down the road, and oh, he's so lovely. Mm-hmm. I really think this is it. And then the wife, or the mother said, yeah, no, I know that guy, and I know that he has kids, but I also know that the wife is still not dead. So,
that sounds like a story for a whole other podcast.
Yeah,
that is
insane.
So you're saying, yeah. So basically, your kind of thing and what you're hearing back, feedback from dating apps, is that they are notoriously just like, you don't know what you're getting. You don't, like, you can meet a guy and he can be all like, wee, like, oh, I'm looking for this, but he's looking for one thing, or he's dating multiple girls and messing people around. So you set up people and you matchmake. So, what would be the criteria, like, to put two people together? That was questions that we were getting a lot of, like, is it about career, looks, weight, what you're looking for? Like, how do you find two people?
It differs for different age groups on that. So with us, it's 5 guaranteed introductions. So it's fewer dates, but more quality emphasis on the actual characteristics and the core values and the traits and you know, the do's and the don'ts, the likes, the dislikes. Mm-hmm. So people call us and we have to go through this sort of conversation over the phone to make sure that we can actually meet the person's expectations and take them on. We end up turning away more people than we take on. That's the reason why Intro actually has the success that it has, because if Johnny rings up and Johnny's 45, this is typical. If I get an email from Johnny and he says, I'm single, never married, no kids, I want all that. I know that I'm going to have a battle of the ages on my hands with Johnny. So I'll ring Johnny and I'll say, okay, what are you looking for? He's like, I'd like someone, you know, maybe between 25 and 30. I was like, right, Johnny. See, you're 45. Never in the history of Intro has any 25 to 30 year old woman called and said, hey, Intro, I'd love a 45 year old man, please. Could you get me that? It doesn't happen. So guys need to stop being so narcissistic and arrogant, actually thinking they can click their fingers and get what they want just because they're a guy.
They allowed it for the people in the back. So true.
But yeah. No, there's this arrogance.
Men are
there.
Obsessed with that. Yeah. Well,
especially I don't Irish men. I do find Irish men have, like, they don't realize that they've got such a good, like, selection of women in Ireland, you know, that way. And that has men, like, men have these, like, really high standards for, like, the girlfriend they want, but they don't ever look at themselves and they're like, hold on, like, my apartment's in bits.
Yeah.
I've never even had a successful relationship, but I want some girl who's, like, you know, meets all of this criteria. And I won't settle for anything else. But even then, when I get her, I don't really know what I want.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Like, when I see, like, go into my DMs and I see people, men sliding in, I'm like, take a look at you, take a look at me, and reconsider wasting your damn time. Because this is like, what?
The inability to actually see what's reflecting back in the mirror for a lot of people is really, like, scary. And I blame a lot of the mammies for that. Irish mammies saying, gosh, you're a lovely boy now, you're great, sure, any woman would be lucky to have you. And that goes into his head, that feeds into his psyche, and then he thinks, geez, I'm great, I'm fucking brilliant, and I can get whatever I want, and I will call and I'll say I want this, and I'll pay you guys lots of money and you'll get me what I want, where I want it, how I want it looking. And we're saying, you're not buying a material object here. Same for the women as well, but mainly the men in this, if you're dealing with the 40-45 year old men, this is their main issue. It's the Peter Pan syndrome.
It's the trophy wife kind of
commitment phobic. Though they want it all, they want their cake and eat it too, but they don't want it right now. So he'll say to me, well, I want her to be 25 because I'll go out with her for 3-4 years. Maybe then I'm prepared to get engaged.
Maybe.
And then maybe after 2 years we'll get married. And then maybe a year after that, maybe I'm ready for kids. And then we're saying, well, you know what? You can't get everything you want. She has a choice too. And therefore you need to cop yourself on. So we're very blunt on the phone and very in your face, because it's about people's entire future. We're not going to waste their time and say, yeah, whatever you want, Johnny, come on and we'll get you. And we'll see how we do.
Yeah.
That's not how we do things. So Johnny goes off in a huff and then calls back usually a year later, tail between his legs, saying, fine, you were right. And so I got a call yesterday, which is nice. I did a radio thing yesterday and I got a call straight away from this guy saying, yeah, you probably don't remember me now. He was in Waterford. And he said, I came into you and you talked, not down to me. He said, you told me where to go if I didn't change my attitude. And he said, no one's ever told me what to do in my life, but you did that day. And thank you for doing that. Aww. So he was the guy, he came in at 46 and he was looking for all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so he ended up, he said, now I'm married now, 3 years, I've got a baby and the baby is 2.5 or whatever. And I have you to thank for it. And thanks for being honest.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that was well country. Sorry about that.
We do need honesty, I think, you know, the way. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, I guess one of the problems with dating like apps and stuff is you don't get any feedback.
No.
Like we actually did an episode a while ago with a friend of ours who's another podcaster called Podge. And it was actually on his podcast. We were, he actually like showed us his Hinge profile and we edited it like live on the podcast for him because we were like, what are you doing? Like your first picture is you with like five other lads. Your intro, like his one liner was like terrible. It didn't even reflect how like cool he is. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, now my Hinge is popping off. You do need like feedback, I think, you know, that way. Like, and a lot of the time, like, I mean, lads aren't going to go to their lads and be like, what do you think of my Tinder profile? Girls do.
Well, yeah. Some lads do. And that is great. And yeah. I love being in the company of like, guys who actually speak openly about it because I'm like soaking up all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, okay, don't do that. Okay, they like that, you know?
Yeah.
But so the compatibility thing, like how, so obviously you're saying that like more so the men maybe have these high expectations and you have to try and like bring them back down to earth.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, the women do as well?
It would be more so women. Women.
Really?
Women's bar is far higher than men.
So men is kind of more just about the like superficial looks and.
It might be looks and age. What you see is what you get. They want yes if you mean yes, no if you mean no. No mind games, no drama. Just what you see.
I hear men say that all the fucking time. No drama. Yeah. I'm drama free, but like I find men come into my life and they're like blah, blah.
Yeah, they don't want hassle. That's what they always say. I don't want loud, brash, domineering in your face.
They want like a woman to basically like slip into their life and be completely like they haven't changed anything.
I always find
they're like,
yeah.
I want the exact same life, but just to have this woman here and she, you know, she's great and all, but she hasn't changed anything.
The feedback is amazing.
That's
brash,
it.
That word is so gas.
Brash, loud,
like,
domineering.
We would 100% be brash women. And I'm like,
that's why you're doing well.
And domineering, I'd say I'm really like that as well.
But the point is,
not in the bedroom, but like just in a room.
That's okay. You own it and that's fine. And we like that. But the point is, some guys can't handle it. And that's why some guys ring up and they'll say, do you have any foreigners on the books?
Foreigners? Oh my God.
And he's not saying, I don't like Irish women. He's saying, well, he kind of is. He's saying, I want someone submissive who's going to do as I say.
They
think
have that
foreign women are going to say,
he thinks he's going to get some sort of like Russian mail order bride. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
Little does he know, Russian women will
hand him
his bollocks.
Yeah. Annihilate. Way worse than what he could get here in Ireland. So, they really need to be careful. I said, it's not really a foreign woman that you're looking for here, Johnny. You're looking for someone who's nice, who's grounded, who's down to earth.
Yeah.
So people always do that. They make a sweeping statement about something thinking that I had one bad experience with an Irish woman before and sure, Jesus, she was fierce loud and she was fierce in your face and she was fierce bossy. Now, that must mean that all Irish women are like that. Mm. Let's go for the foreigners.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
how
they think. And
they make
I love men's brains.
Yeah.
Same with separate people who had dates with separated people. Oh, Jesus, it was awful hassle there with the separated person. They came back, sure, and it was a toxic environment and they all were messing around and they were saying this, that and the other and they were half getting back together again. So, Jesus, I better cut out all separated people as well.
Oh,
I was like, do you realize how much you're shooting yourself in the foot here?
Yeah. I get it with kids. Like, obviously, I have two kids and I'm single. And I think going into the dating scene with that, I think people instantly see like, whoa, she's looking for a father for the kids. And I'm like, no, very much a separate thing. And I have my kids raring sorted. Like I basically co-parent with, you know, my parents and the dad. And like, I'm not needing someone to be like, hey, little squirt, let's go bike riding, you know?
That's perfect. But that's all about selling that in the actual profile. When we're selling the profile to Johnny over the phone, don't know, Johnny's getting an awful stick here. If we call him about you, we'll be saying, okay, look, you know, her situation is this, but she is very independent, doesn't need a father figure. You're going to date her.
Yeah.
You're not going to be involved, you know, until she would say that you are happy to be involved in your life.
And then involved would be involved as my friends are.
Exactly.
You know, the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But automatically an awful lot of guys will think, oh God, is that going to be hassle? And what's the ex like? And is he going to cause drama? And it's going to be like this one. Jeez, what am I getting into? A lot of guys will think that way. But if you go for a slightly older guy, from your own age up to maybe 8 or 9 years, there's a maturity level sometimes there that you won't get in a 32-year-old guy.
Would you usually say for like single parents, would you usually put single parents and other single parents together? Do you think that works?
No,
or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter, because a lot of the time guys had kids from other relationships that shouldn't ever have had kids, and they're the worst father figures ever. And then you got
okay.
Johnny, who might be the best father figure ever, is only dying to get involved and be a dad.
Yeah.
And so he may not, it might not have been possible.
Yeah.
Okay. For lots of fertility or whatever reasons. So no, it can't be as black and white. It's never black and white. And that's why you have, it's very intricate. It's so time consuming and labor intensive to go through all the different traits and qualities and characteristics. But 7 of us actually make the decisions on the actual matches.
Wow.
So 7 humans make the decisions.
Oh, it's not a, there's like a board of elders.
Honestly, God. Yeah.
Wow.
So you bring in, and like, is there, how long does it take to kind of get through? So if someone wants to apply, do they have to like write out all their and?
No, they don't. Like they send an application in through the website intro.ie, and I would contact them by phone, or someone would contact them by phone to have the initial chat to make sure that we actually can offer you a membership.
Yeah.
But about 20 times a day we don't, and we say, I don't think this is the agency for you. Not out of being cruel, not saying, oh, you're not good enough. It's nothing like that. It's all about managing expectations. And we only deal with people who are willing to compromise, and people who are flexible enough, and people who actually understand, as you said earlier, I know I have flaws, but they have flaws too, but I'm willing to actually work with that. It's not for people who say, well, do you know why I deserve X, Y, and Z? Because I had a hard life and I had a terrible breakup. So the victim mentality stuff will never work, or the anger, if they're still raging and seething with anger about how they got hard done by, they're not ready for dating. So they need to be in this happy kind of enough space in their head whereby they feel, I'm content with my life, my work, my family, my friends, but I would like someone else to enhance what I've already got going for myself. I'd like to go out for dinner. I'd like to go out for meals. I'd like to have a partner. But people who are looking to fill a void in an empty space that they think has been made because of some ex, they're not ready yet. So we have policies, and the policies are based on stats. Getting a bit technical here, if you don't mind.
No, we're enjoying this.
Yeah.
So in year one, myself and Rena opened the doors 10 years ago, and we let everyone in. Sure, yeah, it's grand. What'll happen? We weren't naive, because we were both in sales for years and whatever. And she was working I was in property. She was in TV and radio, always sales. Okay. And this is a sales job. So we opened the doors, and then we realized, oh my God, what's happening here? All these people are just looking for the most outrageous things. And the three things that cropped up time and time again was unwillingness to travel, unrealistic age expectations, and academic snobbishness. So
interesting.
Yeah, three things.
So travel as in?
I'm not traveling anywhere. I live in Port Marnock. I've got my setup here. My kids are in school down the road. Therefore, they can come here. Or I might go as far as Malahide.
Oh, maybe. No, I would move for love.
Yeah. Right.
No,
that was very Lady Gaga of you there.
Yeah, but that is, it is true. Very, I can see a lot of Irish people being like that.
Oh, yeah.
Irish people are such like, even in Dublin, like we're such like local people. You know, that way we're like, I mean, I live in Port Marnock, he lives in Killiney. How will it ever
Shock
work?
Her.
You know,
and
that way.
That's the thing. We're a nationwide service, so we have all 32 counties catered for. And the reason why people shoot themselves in the foot a lot of this is because they have these profiles, and they have the radius on the profile of about 10, 15 kilometers. And so they ring up us and say, oh, I don't know why it's not working. I'm on Bumble and Tinder and POF for the last like 3 years. I'm seeing the same faces crop up over and over again. It's like, what's your radius there, love? And they're like 15 kilometers. It's like, there's your answer. So, and there's the reason being, there's twice as many women living in urban areas than men. So women spend longer in education by and large in this country, and that's why there's more women pocketed in cities. And that's why if you're a woman in Dublin, Limerick, Cork, Galway or Belfast, you're at a slight disadvantage if you're not willing to travel. And that happens.
Okay. Interesting for our listeners too, because obviously, well, our biggest listenership is 25 to 35, probably because that's our age group. Well, we're moving further away from the 25 section.
Say nothing.
But the under 25s, we obviously do also have a lot of people in college and stuff like that. And I'd say that would be a big, I mean, obviously in college as well, you know, your bubble is even smaller. Like, I mean, when I was in college, I was probably like, God, he goes to UCD. Like, I could hardly go all the way out to, you know, Sandyford, you know, that way. It's like you'd only date sometimes within your college then, which makes the pool even smaller. But so when you're talking about like criteria for people around like 25, 35, say women, what would some of their what's common criteria that you would see from women around that age group?
A lot of the time they're looking for someone who's committed, who has their head screwed on, who knows what he's about, who has his house in order. They often say shit in order. Someone who's not looking for an emotional crutch, someone who is independent, someone who has drive, ambition, someone who knows the path that that he's actually planning on going towards. So they don't want they don't want kids. They don't want to be looking after any guys. They don't want mammy's boys.
Yes.
And there's an awful lot of mammy's boys in Ireland, and mammy's again have the have to answer to that. They'd often say, Arisha, no woman is going to cook or clean the way I do. Stay where you are.
Yeah.
And the Johnnies live in the house until they're 45 or 50. But for 25 to 35 year old women, it's great because there's actually more men than women technically in Ireland single. So
there's more men single.
There's more men. More okay, available men in the 20s and 30s. There's more available women in the 40s, 50s, 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm. So well, that's depressing. Over.
Yeah, but that's just down to women living longer, more men emigrating. And a lot of the time as well, men will separate when they're in their mid-50s, the midlife crisis. And they'll run off with a younger woman. And that's why there's slightly more available younger men. So, yeah. So Johnny will go out with the 50, with the 25-year-old. And then the ex-wife's like, oh, damn you. So she'll get loads of Botox and loads of fillers, loads of whatever else. And then she'll ring up and say, I want a 35-year-old guy because he got a young woman. So I want to get a young guy to get revenge. So it's like two fingers to you.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to one-up him. That's hilarious.
Yes,
hilarious.
All the time.
Hilarious.
And so when we heard that on the initial phone call, we were like, red flag, red flag, red flag. Don't take on.
She's not ready.
Not
she's
ready.
Angry still.
Angry
she's trying
still.
To get, yeah, yes. She's thinking about someone just to piss off her ex.
Exactly.
And she's
not
in a good headspace for a relationship.
Ready for a relationship, yeah. Obviously. So I say that would be another thing that would be a pro of, and tell me like if I'm wrong, but would you only take on people who are like, I'm ready for like a relationship? Or if someone would, like, would it be a red flag for you if someone was kind of like, I think I kind of want to settle down? Because I think that's something that people struggle with on dating websites, is that like people are on there, they're kind of like, I'll try out Tinder, and then they meet them and they're
like, say with Bumble, for example, like on Tinder, you don't really get many insights. And then there's Bumble, which you can have the little search thing, which says what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's when it's on a public dating profile, it's a lot more kind of vulnerable and putting yourself out there. If you have like, I'm looking for a relationship. And if you're going on dates and saying that outright, it can be a bit off-putting and, you know, in your face when you're just meeting someone initially. But then you do get to a point of being like, are we on the same page? Are we looking for the same thing?
A lot of the time people will say that they don't really know what they want because they just haven't met the right person yet. And then after date number one or two, it just clicks and they're saying, yeah, geez, that's what I'm after. Because if you try to sit down and actually say, I want to specifically categorize the traits, the qualities, the characteristics, the core values, the family values that I'm looking for at 25, like, geez, I don't know. God, I just want someone nice, down to earth. The people who are successful come in and say, I want some nice, down to earth, just grounded, level-headed. What you see is what you get. Just someone who's family orientated, someone who's going to treat me with respect, and someone who actually wants a relationship and wants to commit, because they're so sick of meeting these one night stander type people who are just going to play fast and loose with their emotions. And then people nowadays with COVID, not to go off track, but they're just making decisions that they probably wouldn't have made beforehand in terms of Zoom dates. And then it ends up with revenge porn and loads of the random stuff like that happening. And then they call us saying, geez, I had this most awful blackmail experience. So I want to protect myself from all this. So can I please do something proper? So we've never been busier in 10 years than we are since the 12th of March.
That's
when lockdown
amazing.
Hit.
Because like I downloaded stuff because I was single just before lockdown. So I downloaded some apps because I wouldn't really have the time, or I'm not really like, I hate spending a lot of time texting and being on my phone. But lockdown, I was like, okay, this is the perfect time to just be able to see if there is anyone decent. Now, it's like, whoa. I mean, you can just waste your time so much. And it's really confusing, you know, because it is kind of hard to know what you want, especially if you're like meeting, you know, if you're not meeting the right person. And then if you do, and then they don't know what they want, and you're like, oh God.
Well, a lot of the time Mary might like John and John doesn't feel the same way, and therefore it's very debilitating. And then Mary has to take time for herself to heal and actually build up the courage to actually go out there again. It does shatter confidence levels, staying too long on certain apps, because there's rejection after rejection. People don't respond as quickly as they should. But then if you send an email to some guy or a DM to some guy and he doesn't write back within a few seconds, you're not going to go mental at him. But so many women say guys go absolutely ape if they don't get back to them within a couple of seconds, and they start slagging the crap out of them, saying, what are you doing in the stadium? Look at you. I thought you're single. I thought you're on this for a reason. What's wrong with you? What's even wrong with you?
Oh my God.
They're really aggressive.
Men are defo more volatile that way.
Yeah.
Like, or like, you know, you'll get it where like, you know, we hear it from like a lot of our listeners, like they'll like kind of break it off with a guy where it never really happened. Like they might've gone on a date, but they're kind of like, look, it's not really. And then you get the tirade of messages.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Why do you waste my time? Blah, blah, blah. You're like,
showed
holy
your true colors now.
Shit.
Well, lucky escape then.
And then, of course, like, I mean, if you've been through, like, say, a few kind of letdowns where you were more into the guy than he was into you, and then that happens to you, you're probably just like,
forget it for
shit.
A while. Yeah. Like, and they switch off for a while. But the online thing, it's very, it's really debilitating for an awful lot of people, because they'll put up profiles and they'll have these filtered pictures and they look amazing, and then they wake up in the morning time if they're 21 or 22 and look in the mirror and it's like natural light. Oh, Jesus.
Hungover.
Yeah, and not feeling great. So I suppose being in a good headspace and being happy with yourself is actually, although it sounds cliche as whatever, it's so important that you're ready for, and if you're not happy right now yourself, then there's no point in doing it.
Yeah.
But the travel thing is a major issue, just to get back
travel,
onto that.
Yeah.
And there's more men living in rural parts. That's why, you know, men, trades, farming, whatever else.
Yeah.
But then the age thing is the second one. In year one, we noticed that, oh God, everyone is giving out about age. They want all these ridiculous age gaps. And when guys hit 40, that's when it starts, as we mentioned at the beginning. But then women will call at 50 saying, you know, I think I want, you know, someone 40 because I feel I look so much younger than my actual age. And often it's, again, about the revenge. But in the age group that we're mainly talking to here, 25 to 35, they will ring and it's never an issue. Age is never an issue at 25 to 35.
Yeah.
Because guys are not at that weird Peter Pan commitment phobic level yet. That's only when guys hit over 40. So
that's
that's when they get really difficult. Oh, yeah. Oh, 39, 40. You can see it straight away.
Is it because they've had, you know, difficult relationships and they're just...
Or they've played the field for so long in their 30s, and then at 34, 35, 36, all their other lad friends have settled down.
Yeah.
And they're like, Jesus, yeah, where are the lads gone? I can't even get them out for a night out on a Friday. The missus won't let them out.
Yeah.
So I better get a missus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like then they can, if they're the last one to settle down, like, mm-hmm. say, I can see it from like some of my friends who have, like, you know, if they're in relationships and all the kind of guys, there's always that one single guy,
yeah,
but he would only bring like really young girls. It's like, yeah, he's trying to show off to the other friends who have these long-term relationships.
Yeah, like, getting.
Oh, well, Tony, you've got sand for the last 7 years. Well, I've got a hot little mutt, and that's what I get for waiting to settle down.
Yeah.
And it's like some dope comes in 21.
Yeah, but it's not adoration. It's not jealousy. It's usually pity. It turns into pity for those guys.
True. Yeah, they think they look deadly. It looks pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially really to their peers who are female. Like, I mean, I see it, like, you know, Lindsay and I are both in our 30s, and like, yeah, you do see like the 36-year-old, and you're like, he's bringing around another 22-year-old. You're like, oh, yeah, God, yeah, like, you're not as rich as Leonardo DiCaprio. You can't be getting away with that much.
Well, even Leonardo DiCaprio looks like a fat dope, to be honest. Like, regurgitating every year a different Victoria's Secret model and not getting anywhere, and they're laughing.
It doesn't look like a good report card after.
Then you see,
while,
like, no, you're like Brosnan, who like, he's been with the same woman for years, and that's kind of a really attractive quality and stuff like that.
And your man Magic Mike, what's his story? Or is he the guy with the older looking
woman? I know who you're saying, the older looking woman. Okay, we got a lot of questions. So if you're thinking compatibility and you're trying to like place people together, how important is just the initial spark, sexual chemistry and like sexual attraction? Because that's something that, I guess, you know, you can have everything down on paper, but then you just meet someone and you just have this like natural sexual chemistry.
Yeah, it's important, and everyone knows that looks are massively important. But at the same time, Mary could go out with John and then she's like, oh, he's good personality, good talker, but I don't know. If she doesn't give him the benefit of the doubt, she'll lose out, because the second time or third time she meets, he'll whip out the guitar, play her a song, serenade her, and she's like, Jesus, there's something there that I didn't see at the beginning. So we're too quick to judge is the problem. And we're not going to think, whoa, boom, it's so hot, I can't believe the chemistry is as palpable. That rarely happens. We're not 15, 16, 17 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when people are still looking for that in their 20s and 30s and 40s, they will be waiting. Like, the odd time you'll get someone who's like, whoa, they're unbelievable, they're smoking hot. But then there's nothing to talk about, and there's vacuous and just totally empty, and there's nothing there. So yeah, looks will fade though. So
I mean, like, sexual chemistry, you know, that thing where you're like
the unspoken thing in the
air. Like, it's not that you're, because I have looked at guys and dates and been like, he's so hot, and then when we get down to it, I'm like, oh God, this is not, we don't have a rapport sexually, you know.
Yeah. Well, you see, we don't ask questions about what you want to do in bed in intro, or what you have done in bed in intro. We'll find out whether you are looking for something long term and meaningful. And once we arrange the date, we book the table in the restaurant.
But that's great, because that takes out that whole like, who's gonna ask out who, blah blah blah.
That's amazing. You book the table.
Yeah, we organize 100 dates a week all over the 32 counties.
What?
Yeah, there's over 4,000 people on the books at the minute. And yeah, no, it's but like, if we,
it's so secretive though, like, without was it the live stream?
Roisin, like, DM'd me or something.
Yeah, I think she DM'd it, and like, without you know, it's so secretive.
Oh, yeah, no, but no one wants to talk about it. You can go onto Tinder and Bumble and whatever else, and you'll scream from the rooftop that I'm on this, because you can always get away with saying in Ireland, sure, I'm only having the crack. Don't care if it works out or not, whatever.
I didn't need a friend set me up on it.
Yeah, whereas you join Intro Matchmaking, it's like, Jesus, I mean business.
It's very much like laying your cards on the table. You're like, I'm ready for a relationship.
Yeah. And what's wrong with that? We are, like, if we're in our 30s, for God's sake, what's wrong with that? But COVID has made it more acceptable. It's gotten rid of the taboo and the stigma that once was with Irish people thinking, Jesus, what if everyone knows my business? And it's usually like the first dates thing where Mary is out with John and then Mary says, I'm not going to say what I think. You go first. But she has no intentions of meeting him again. Yeah. She wants him to say first.
The show, yeah. See, I think with dating, I always say it's like everyone is, you know, feeling, it's quite vulnerable. It's a vulnerable feeling to be like, I'm looking for something more than that is, you know, like I'm getting one night stands, but I want more than that. It's very like you can feel a bit like lonely.
Time.
But then I think when you enter the dating game, you're very much trying to navigate it with your dignity and like keeping yourself strong, so it's really hard to configure what the other person who's being honest and how to pick together.
That's why it only works if you put yourself into a pool of like-minded individuals with the same intentions. So you might be the most genuine person on Tinder, but you're meeting all sorts of lunatics that want nothing but a one-night stand, whereas if you join Intro, you're only in a pool of people and you'll only be matched by 7 matchmakers with someone else who actually wants the same outcome as you do. He'll know all about the kids, he'll know all about your situation, he'll know everything, and he's happy to meet. That's the difference. That's why you get the success that we get. But so many times people will say, God, I've wasted all my time, I've done this, I've done that, are there any decent people left out there? But they're their own worst enemy. And I always say, just don't go in thinking that you have to get married straight away. Take it slow. The worst thing that can happen is you make 5 really good new friends, and then sometimes people meet people through the friends that they make with us.
Okay. Or just even like a bump up in your confidence.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be matchmade by someone, like, you've both obviously given the yes to like, yes, I want to meet this person. So like, you know, you're not going to turn up and the guy's like, you're not really what I thought I was going to, you know what I mean? So it'll at least probably bring your confidence up to a point where you're like, oh, I can date. And when I do meet people who are on my level, I can actually, you know, have a really nice time and blah, blah, blah. So when it comes to, I'm sure all of our listeners would love to know, so beyond like the Peter Pan men, right? Yep. What are most men looking for when they come in? Like, say in around like, you know, 30 plus.
Yeah. Men.
Men who have their head screwed on. Anyway.
Head screwed on. Oh yeah, they would all literally have their head screwed on.
Ones that you say yes to.
Yeah. They get passed. Yeah, exactly. So they will say, I want to settle down. I do want someone who's, you know, family orientated, down to earth, grounded, someone who can have both sort of a fancy night out, but also be happy to muck it and walk down the beach and not worry about getting sand in their shoes. Not someone too over the top prissy, not someone too, not a smoker. Smoking is one of the biggest pet hates.
Interesting.
What about juuling? Like vaping, e-cigarettes.
Oh, well, a lot of them are saying now, they're probably going to end up being worse than the cigarettes.
It's probably the smell from the cigarettes. I think that's the
thing. Wouldn't like a smoker myself.
Yeah, me neither.
I had one woman who said, you go through, are you a smoker, non-smoker, blah, blah, blah. She said, yeah, I smoke 20 a day or so. And it came down to what she didn't want. She's like, definitely no smokers. I said, Mary, you smoke 20 a day, 20 actual cigarettes a day.
20?
Yeah. And I said, well, why do you feel that that's not a double standard? And she said, well, when I have a cigarette, Fergal, I eat a chewing gum after and I spray stuff around me.
Oh, God.
And it even smells worse.
Yeah, like,
no, I wouldn't. A smoker is a big no. At least, now, I never smoked, but Jenny and I took up e-cigarettes because some bloody model had it on Instagram. But it's not as bad.
I smoked.
Yeah, when you were going out drinking and stuff.
When I was younger, I smoked like a pack. But yeah, I think once you quit, especially, you're
it's a big pet
hate. When you're younger.
Men and women both say, please, no smokers. And women will say, you know, no one tight, mean.
Yeah.
Stingy is the worst. And you would have seen things once. I remember this guy and the woman out on a date. We get the feedback the next working day. So you hear all the stuff.
Oh, interesting.
And then you give it to the...
Well, don't give it to the other person. Okay. Can't say, Lindsay, you went out with Johnny and Johnny said that you were this awful... Da, 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 da. No, because Lindsay, you might have said a joke and it's funny in your head, but it's not him
so
to
it's
decide
just that
whether
you
or not...
Didn't You didn't get on it. You don't need to know exactly.
No, it's not. Oh, she said this, he said that. You'd never get the truth anyway. You'll often get people saying, yeah, it was a grand date. Johnny might say it was a grand date. Mary will often say, that was the worst date. I can't believe you sent me on that date. We had one woman and she actually said, I've never been through such a horrific experience in my life. I said, what happened? This is a day one when we opened, first of all. I said, his belt didn't match his shoes.
Oh my okay. God.
We're like, I hope he keeps smiling for you there, love. So yeah, you get a lot of that. That's why we say no a lot now. Because you can hear the alarm bells and the red flags coming out. But, you know, in terms of what we were saying about what they're looking for and what not looking for, men will say, again, it's number one, loud, brash, domineering, in your face, and smoking, number two. That's what they don't want. So they just want someone who they can bring home, introduce to the family, or they can bring to an event and not have to be minding. Not mm-hmm. clingy, needy.
Or yeah. embarrassed. If they're saying like loud, brash, they're thinking, oh, I don't want to bring someone to like a work event and she's going to be like screaming, sucking on a fag, being like, ah!
Yeah, well, that, but more so they don't want the loud, brash when they're on their own with them because okay. they're going to feel completely dominated. And Irish guys, I'm not saying it's low energy in some cases, but there's a little bit of, sure, you know, let's just see how it goes. Where it's there's a real, especially around rural Ireland as well, there's a real kind of sense of sure, life is stressful enough, let's just keep things easy, keep things on the down low.
But I do find it funny that men sometimes say like they don't want anyone brash, loud or domineering, but they're like, but she has to be confident, I don't want anyone insecure. Yeah. So it's like, what the fuck do you want then? Yeah. Like, you want women to have this like Goldilocks level of confidence that suits mm-hmm. your needs, but like, you know, because like loud and brash, I mean, sometimes I just have a loud voice. So does Lindsay, you know, that way.
Yeah. We are just loud and brash. But I think there is, like, say, let's talk for a moment about first dates. So you say mm-hmm. that you set up the first date. So I think, you know, I've made the mistake in the past where I feel like, you know, a first date, I'm like putting it all out there. This is who I am. Mm. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But I think it can, you know, your first date is basically like a job interview, right? Like you have to like be, it has to be enjoyable, not too heavy, light, fun is the main thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't need to tell everything on the first date because you're not going to get to know someone on the first date anyway. No. So would you have like first date tips?
We would advise just to keep things as light as possible. Not get into exes. Never get into any exes. Don't seem bitter. Don't seem like you're looking to get revenge or you're only on this date to try and get, you know, one up on the other person. Be attentive. For guys, get the chair when you pre-COVID. Get the chair, shake hands, make eye contact, talk, ask questions, look interested. Don't look at your phone and don't be the Johnny Big, whatever, picking up your phone, answering the phone. That is the biggest no-no.
Yeah.
And they all try to do that. A lot of them try to do that. Look like, look, I've got an important business deal to do right now.
Okay.
well, do you though? It's probably your mammy.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, don't do that. And just try and ask questions without looking like you're invading privacy. Do Irish guys need to actually say stuff like, I've had a great time, Lindsay. I've had a great time, Jenny. I'd love to see you again. Here's my number. You talked about a restaurant down the road. I'd love to bring you to that next time. Whereas usually Irish guys are like, I wouldn't please her now to tell her that I'm interested in her. Because if she says no to me, then I'm not going to have that. No.
Yeah.
My ego couldn't take it.
Yeah,
So they say nothing. They sweep it under the rug and then find out a few days later after playing mind games that actually she's not that into me. So I was wasting my time. They always waste their time. Whereas now with COVID, people are like, if there's a second lockdown, I am not going to be sitting at home looking at the four walls, working on whatever all day long. I want to actually express myself. So since lockdown happened and the 29th of June, then when the restaurants reopened again, we could see an immediate kind of change in terms of second dates happening.
Oh, interesting.
Because of the 100 dates a week that we organize, about 50 couples will go on pause and half of those remain together. But that's even increased since COVID. Since the whole lockdown lift and restaurants opening. So Johnny is out on a date with Mary and instead of being all cool, he's now saying, do you know what? I actually am. I had a great time. I'd like to see you again. There's a motivation there to express themselves and not be all Irish and sweeping under the rug that was never there before.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And why do you think that came from? From COVID.
fear of loneliness, fear of...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Dark evenings, November, December, Jesus, Christmas and, time yeah, again. This year has been a nonsense.
Probably
what's
like, life is short, man. And you're meditative. Like, you know what?
Honest
like,
to God.
Just like...
Yeah.
Total meditative space. Like, I really find that like you were forced to sit in...
To reflect.
With your thoughts. Mm. And yeah. whether you were in a relationship, you were really forced to look at your relationship. We're seeing a lot of breakups happen now.
A lot.
Because a lot happened in COVID, like during lockdown, but now I'm seeing a lot afterwards. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the questions that we got, and I totally understand this, I went through a phase of this myself about a year and a half ago, where, you know, you go out on a date and it goes really well. You might hook up, you might not, but like it was a great date and it just doesn't get to that second or third date. That was a big question that we're getting. And
because of COVID?
No, just in general, just dating that like, girls can find themselves maybe just getting in a space of like date meeting guys. Maybe it is
that's having sex on the first date, I would think.
Would you really?
Yeah. Think so?
Yeah, guys won't want to meet the girl. Majority of guys won't want to meet the girl a second time if they've had sex the first date.
See, I don't think that is that not crazy?
No. No, it's not. I'm not saying it's crazy or not. I'm saying it's fact.
It's true. It's fact.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like from what you've heard.
Oh, yeah. Because and all we've been doing is for 10 years listening to people, what they want, what they don't want, and what their experience have been. If a guy has sex with a girl on the first date, she's not going to be the girl that he wants to bring home to mammy to say hi.
But then, okay, so then
I know it
first date, it is, but also it is
it's
factual.
True. In Ireland, it is.
And I have not been, like I was on a date a couple of months ago and the guy outright said that mm-hmm. because I'm very forward.
Yeah.
And I was like, so mine are yours? And he was like, no, I wouldn't. What did he say? Shag and dash or something, I don't know, something mm-hmm. mad like that. He was like, if I was to go home with you tonight, I wouldn't, it would be because I don't want to see you
and
again.
I'd be gone tomorrow. So that means he wants to see you again.
Yes.
But then he also like kind of, I mean, it kind of also brought in a bit of a like weird, you know, because sometimes men can do that and then it makes sex like this big thing.
Yeah,
and that's what happened with me and him.
Yeah, and it can make it like kind of like, oh my god, it's gonna be, you know, like Lindsay made a joke which was fucking gosh. She's like, what do I always do, like, you know, enter into the room in negligee, you know, like it's like this. And in Ireland I think that like we are a country and like our podcast tries to do a lot of this where we're trying to break down so much of the shame around sex and so much of the like the shackles that have been around us for so long that we're not allowed to talk about sex and like that women shouldn't be sexual. And I do find that can be a bit of a hangover. I like, and I understand it to an extent.
The idea that like the man will go on a date and have sex with someone but judge the woman and not himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's same down to like leap year last year, wasn't it? Whereby the women can propose the 29th. We've had situations where guys literally have broken up with the woman who's proposed them because how dare you make me look like some sort of emasculated whatever.
So men still really want to look like...
They want to appear to be the guy that's in control and dominant. That's why if you're a woman who says, right, we're going home.
Now
we're going to do this on the first night.
Okay.
That will be like, that will scare the shite out of a lot of Irish guys.
What's difficult about the whole, you know, allowing a man or just, you know, I would be very up for a dominant man and a man who, you know, could choose the restaurant mm-hmm. and who was like grabbing me into the bedroom or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time it's like they want to have their cake and eat it too in the situation where like they're awkward in the restaurant. So they're not acting like the man, but what they still want you to treat the man.
Yeah,
man. But I'm like,
that.
If there's no man in this situation, like a lot of the time I turn into the fucking lad,
yeah.
you know, and I'm like, okay, we're going here. And it's like,
you're dead right.
I don't want to do it, but I'm just put in the position because they're like, I know where we go or what we do. Or
I've heard this for the last 10 years. Every day, all day, women have to be the decision makers all the time. And they organize the holidays, organize the restaurants, organize everything. And he's like, whatever you want, yeah, I suppose, yeah. And his attitude is, well, you were going to make the decision anyway. So why the hell would you want me to give my tuppence worth if you're going to end up saying, no, I don't want that, that's shite, we're going here instead. That's what he thinks is going to happen. So he's thinking, what's the point in even telling you guys?
So how do you push a man? If a man wants to be, and if a man is kind of like, you know, is enjoying dating and is wanting to continue dating someone if he feels like a man. How do you make someone feel like a man who's not acting like a man?
It'll have to be just, it has to be nicely, nicely, softly, softly, build up. And say, small little compliment here, a small little compliment there.
More mammying though, isn't it?
I know.
You chose a restaurant, aren't you? Brilliant.
Congratulations.
Lazier. Yeah, and that's why the mammies, that's what I said at the beginning, have an awful lot to answer for. It's this ridiculous smothering of the young boys who had, that sounds weird.
I think it was a generalization.
Yeah, totally.
I actively don't do it with my son, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Make your own bed.
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Because then.
But my mum would have done it. Like, I have one brother and, you know, it's me and my two sisters.
Yeah.
And like, she'd be like, would you get his plate for God's sake?
Right. You're like, the woman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
right.
Why
yeah.
am I cleaning up his boxy plate? Exactly. You know?
And that's a huge issue. So the Irish thing is massive. Like, it's usually rural kind of thing where the son, eldest son, is going to inherit the land. The sisters have gone off to UCC or UL and they're doing the mm-hmm. nice degrees and they're doing great. And so he's there and he's with mammy and daddy. Mammy makes them the dinner every day at 1 o'clock and they have the tea at 7. And sure, mammy and daddy don't talk because they're miserable and they slept in separate bedrooms all their lives, apart from having kids. And then so he's at 45 saying, mammy, there's a nice woman down the road there now. Do you think I should meet her now? I don't know who you thinking you are now. Like, she's not going to cook or clean the way I do. Stay where you are.
So they want to keep their sons. They
and do you find that in Dublin as well? Or is it more of a rural thing?
No, it's a rural thing. It's a really rural thing. And, you know, they'll die at 90 something and he'll be like, I have all this mattress money and of all this whatever else. I have no heir though to pass on this land to. So at 65, we get three
Panic
or four
mode.
Calls every day at 65, 70-year-old men. And they'll say, now it's time I had kids. I need an heir to pass my land on to. So will you give me now someone maybe 35, 40? And we're like, yeah, no, you can't really do that. And so he'll compare himself to Ronnie Wood and to Richard Gere.
Okay.
And say, well, if they can do it, why can't I? I was like, I don't know, maybe the Rolling Stone thing or the few hundred million in the bank.
Or the fact that they did have continuous relationships. They didn't just decide.
Or also that they're like, you know, Richard Gere and extremely attractive.
Of course.
For a 65-year-old man.
That is so interesting. We are getting so much knowledge here.
I know.
Oh my goodness. So, let's get back to the sex thing and the first date thing. So, that's a big...
No, if you're looking for a relationship, no, don't have sex.
Okay.
Full stop on the first date.
Okay, so then this is where it gets confusing for me, because it's like, okay, first date, no. Second date, question mark? Like, I hate these unwritten rules, and I feel like that's already, we're sitting down for the date and it's like, you already have this perception of like me if I go home with you, and then if I don't and I wait for, and then I have to think, okay, when is it okay for me to fuck you, basically?
Well, a little bit of suspense goes a long way, and a little bit of just getting to know the person a bit more. And COVID has actually made that necessary, because people are doing more and more Zoom chats and talking over the phone before they actually physically meet if there's a lockdown. Then other people are going and having Tinder sex in cars, which isn't great either.
It's so true, it's Dorothy.
Yeah, Dorothy, it is. And that can come back to bite you, because I, my next, two doors down, someone down the road from us came into our house and said, I was standing at the front door talking to Rena, and I was like, she looks really serious. What the fuck?
God.
And so she said, here, send Fergal into me. So I went in and she goes, here, look. And her Tinder was open and she was on it at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, you came up as my Tinder match and you're James, 54. I was like, 54? Are you having
How
a
dare?
Laugh? I was like, goodness. I didn't care about the fact that my profile picture was robbed, but she was like, 54. I was like, what? And so
54.
Yeah. And then a week ago, I get another email from a client saying, you came up as a match. She's also on Tinder. And I was 37 now and I was Sean, I think. But the fact is, all well and good to have the shits and giggles and joke about the fact that Tinder profile pics are robbed. But what if some guy is an actual lunatic who does end up having a Tinder sex situation with someone and roofies someone else?
Oh yeah, of course.
So we're like,
I'd be calling up that woman, you know, who makes all those profiles. That sounds like she could be.
But
being careful, being cognizant of the fact that you're on a first date with this stranger who you've never met before. That's my point about the whole sex on the first date.
Yeah, but I get it. Okay, so say you said that, like, you know, during COVID, we were all like obviously being able to talk to people and getting to know people. Now, there was pros and cons of that. The pros was that we had time, instead of just being like, oh, I'll just meet up with this person quickly. You were able to like kind of look through. But then it also, some of the cons were like, if you matched with someone at the start of lockdown and spoke to them a lot, it was kind of like, we kind of have said so much. We've spoken about so many things that would have been so much better to do on a date or on a few dates. It was kind of like we had mini relationship without all the perks of...
Yeah. And that's why when the 29th of June came along, people were like gagging to get out. Yeah. We had a backlog of people that hadn't been out since the 12th of March. So it was ridiculous. And so, but then there were much more enjoyable environments, because you go to a restaurant for a bite to eat, a lunch or dinner, and there's partition, like snug type areas everywhere.
More private,
So you don't feel like Bridie's listening to your every word as you're chatting away and having the crack. And so you much more openly, freely speak and get to know each other. And that's why we've seen a follow on and a follow through from definitely guys being more forward, saying, geez, that was hell. I don't want to go through another 3 month sort of break. Let's actually make a plan here.
Yeah.
And that's why we're seeing it nonstop. And we get all the feedback. The next working day, over 100 dates. So it's 200 people to call. How'd you get on, Mary? How'd you get on, Johnny? Well, he was great. Thought he was really good looking. I liked the way that he opened the door and da 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 da. I liked that he was very chivalrous. He got the meal. He paid for the bills. He wasn't tight. That's lovely. Great. Am I attracted to him? Is there a chemical attraction there? Don't know yet, but I'll give him a second chance.
Okay.
There's much more open mindedness about actually following through and giving people the benefit of the doubt.
And not being as kind of tight with their restrictions of what they want and don't want.
And judgmental, the over-judgmental sort of bearing a sort of attitude is a killer. And people saying to us all the time, Fergal, that doesn't sound like my type. We're like, Mary, your type hasn't worked so far.
You don't know what your type
Stop
is.
Stop going for that
and
type.
I guess like what you're saying there, kind of, it does make sense on the sex thing, because I think like Lindsay and I can be kind of like sensitive towards sex as well, because we are like such like sex positive people. But I guess a lot of the time is like, if you're meeting up on a date and, you know, granted it's someone that you've never met before, not like someone who you've kind of known and been set up with, because that's a different, that's not really like a first date, you know. First date is like, I think when you're meeting like a stranger and you're like, because it's a lot to digest. Like, you know, I've gone on dates, I've been single in years, but like any dates that I have gone on, I find you come back and you're like, what did I say? Like, I'm getting flashbacks in my head of me being like, oh Jesus Christ, I brought up that trauma. Like, it can be a lot to digest. And then you're digesting like a lot of the time what they said. Like, 'cause you first, you kind of put the mirror up to yourself and you're like, what the fuck was I talking about? Mm-hmm. And you kind of realize, you're like, oh my God, I didn't listen to them at all. And then I guess if you do add in sex to that, first of all, you're probably going to be staying the night. It's like the date's now gone on for like 16 hours.
Yeah.
You're the awkward thing of waking up in their house. That can be really awkward as well. You don't know where the fucking bathroom is at 4 a.m.
Or if it's drunken sex. Exactly. And like, you don't really remember.
And if you have the fear then after, and then you're like, oh God, if I'm cringing about what I said, but I also throw sex into that as well.
Yeah.
Am I really just, is it easier just to ghost this person and just say goodbye and never see them again?
Yeah. And if you literally were nude in front of the person. Yeah. But
it's like we were awkward with each other in the restaurant, but then we were like naked in the bed, rolling around and like, and having pillow talk. And I guess like it can just add a lot to kind of digest and kind of be like, oh, did I like that? I don't know. That can be like a
If you don't know, then you didn't.
Yeah.
But you should know straight after. Well, was it awkward? Do I feel awkward around you now? And we're having a croissant and then we're having a coffee or whatever. Mm. Is this weird? And if it's not weird, well, then that's fine. Then it'll proceed to a second date, third date. But if you feel crap and terrible after doing that.
So it can kind of just put in.
You can't be rushing.
Yeah. Because I have, you know, I've gone on a couple of dates with a guy who like I did get with on the first night, but like it was successful in that sense that like it made it, like it wasn't just a one night thing. But does that just mean that we're on the same level with the thought process of that, or?
Yeah, but it's also what you actually want in future, how long you feel it's going to be. Or are some people thinking, I'm in this bit of a rut at the moment, I wouldn't mind having some regular kind of companionship for the next few months.
Would they be thinking, like, if that whole idea of like, oh, I wouldn't bring her back, because would they still be maintaining that first thought process a lot of the time?
I think so, yes.
Okay, I'll ask him that later.
Yeah, do.
I probably won't get a truthful response from him. But okay, let's talk about it. So if you were to give advice on, so we're saying that this is a no-no. So if you were to give advice on like how to, you know, successfully maneuver through the first few dates, like, you know, so we're not having sex. So where do we go? What's the kind of vibe?
Yeah, well, we always advise going for some sort of bite to eat if you can, if COVID allows, going for a bite to eat to actually get to know the person, because so many people go on 20 dates a week, cappuccino dates, they knock back the latte or whatever, and they're like, oh, I'm judging you. So she's looking at Johnny, and then Johnny's there, but she goes, oh, I'm going out with Jack tomorrow, and Jack said he goes to the gym 6 days a week, so he's probably going to have a better physique, therefore, not going to really pay attention to this guy in front of me.
Okay,
so it's so transient and so fickle, and our attitude is, if I throw enough mud at the wall, something will stick. So we throw loads of likes and swipes, and we're like, yeah, I'll do that. I've got another 20 dates or 30 dates lined up for the next 2 weeks, so something's going to happen from there, no? And then when it doesn't, that's soul destroying. And then when you do that for 2 and 3 years, you end up being half the person you were at the beginning, because you're like, Jesus, there's no decent people left out there. That's why that's the most frequently asked question to us on the phone every day. Are there any decent, normal people out there? Because half the people are just looking for one night stands, or they're just not honest about who they were. They totally misrepresent themselves. Your man said he was 6'2". He arrives, he's 5'7". He said he had brown hair. He has blonde or red hair or whatever. He's like, what did you expect me to say when you sat across from me and you're not 6'4", dude? What's wrong with you? What are you lying? What else are you?
That is a difficult thing, like, because we got a couple of questions like that, which I find so frustrating, like towards Irish women. They're like, why the fuck are Irish men so short? And it's like, why are you so judgmental? Like, that's so rude to say. And a lot of I've heard from men, a lot of women in their profiles would say, like, don't even bother if you're not, you know,
we get that all the time. But our answer to that is very factual. The facts are, in Ireland, you're 5'5 and a half is the average height of a woman. It's 5'7 and a half for a man. That's the average height. So we can't stretch the men taller. Yeah. Only 30% of Irish guys are over 6 foot.
I also do find the majority of women who have these rules around height are always the shortest women. They're always like 5 foot 2. They're like, I want him to be 6 foot 3. I'm like, babes, I'm 5 foot 9 and I don't think I've ever really like looked up at a man before in Ireland. You just deal with it.
I just feel like we don't live in Denmark. So judgmental. Yeah. Like imagine if men had that on their profile, like don't even bother unless you have a couple pair of double D's.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and they don't ever say that. No. Guys aren't even that bad about the looks thing. Yeah. They might say the odd time, oh, nice, nice and slim. But that might be it. Never would they, oh, like big. They don't get into that actually. And they certainly wouldn't in here with us. But the height thing is really annoying because they often do say I'm 5'2", but that's stocking feet. So I always wear 5-inch heels. I'm like, oh, well, whatever. We're doing it based on stocking.
Your man can wear heels too, maybe. Yeah.
Cuban boot. We said it before.
We've had those calls as well. Not Cuban boots though. I dress up. Is that okay?
Okay. Well, you know, maybe it is for some people.
Some people might. We knew a girl who liked to dress up her man. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, there is a match out there.
2020. But yeah, the tips, honestly, would be to not judge. Just go out open-minded as possible. Have the core values and the traits and the future goals in your mind. What do you want from this? Do you want a one-night stand or do you want an actual long-term relationship? If so, if people are telling you that you're fierce fussy all the time and that you're very picky, mm-hmm. and Mary, oh God, again, Mary, you're after just getting rid of him because he doesn't drive a BMW, it's only a Merc. Like, there's people like that out there.
So finicky.
Everywhere, finicky. And you're like, just, do you want happiness or not? I had one person who actually broke up with a guy and she was 42. She wanted kids. She wanted everything. He was 46, I think. And she broke up because he didn't drink enough. Not that he was teetotal, just didn't drink enough. Didn't get as blotto and nuts and off his face as she did.
Yeah.
And so she ruined. She loved, really liked the guy. They were together for 4 or 5 months. And then she said, nah, I want the crack. Really? I want to go out and I want to just get hammered.
So then she maybe didn't want a relationship.
She wanted more of a relationship with alcohol than she did.
Okay. Yeah.
And I do find people can do that where they look for like their partner to fulfill everything. It's like, you might go out, like one of my ex-boyfriends, he wasn't exactly like, you know, big mad sesher. And like I would like, at that age, loved going out. So I just went out with my friends. It's like your boyfriend doesn't have to be like your going out partner, your movie partner, exactly. Like all the same books, all the same music, all the same friends. You've got all the, like, it's just like, it's not going to ever
watch
happen.
Watch Sex and the City with me, for God's sake. It's my favorite show. And then they're like, just watch The Gladiator. Rocky is the best movie ever.
Well, it's give and take. So that's why if he is willing to watch Sex and the City, you will watch that. Yeah. It's all about compromise. But these people want everything. They want their cake and eat it too. They want everything to fall in their lap. And it doesn't work like that. And as you said, you shouldn't be looking for someone to fit into your sort of box. You should be saying, that sounded bad too.
into your life.
edit. You should just, like, if you like, I get people who said, oh, I like the quick step. I'm really amazing at the quick step. So the guys that you introduced me to must be really good and proficient at the quick step. I was like, you're lucky if an Irish guy is willing to get up on the dance floor.
The quick step? Yeah. Is that some kind of dance move?
Yeah, it's more
don't
of a,
break my heart.
Is it like a line dancing thing?
It's kind of a diddly eye. But yeah, kind of a diddly eye one. But but no, we're like, no, you can't be looking for that. If he's willing to get up on the dance floor and make a show of himself, well, then that's enough as you should be looking for.
Like, he might have the tie around his head at a wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
You go.
Well, like, you might be a very, very good horses, people and horses.
People. Horse people are horses.
Well, yeah, I'm
horse people are weird. They're really into their horses.
There's certain
maybe
traits.
Bring a few horses in. Honestly, they can date horses.
And then obviously, if he's not into horses, like I'm into horses, and we had someone say before, like, I love dogs, and that's fine. I love dogs too, but like, I just need him to know, this guy I'm dating, how much of a relationship I have with my dog. It's like, what are you saying?
Because it's one thing with like, because it is a turn off. It is a turn off when you have an animal and the person just is not into animals.
Oh yeah,
I will
and he's
say that.
Scared of
or
the dog.
Scared of the dog.
Guys
or like
being scared of dogs, big turn off.
Uncomfortable around dogs.
I don't like that. I had a guy slag my dog, and I was like, "Ew, you are fully minging to me right now."
Yeah.
He'd be like, "Oh, I was like, "Oh, I have a French bulldog," and he was like, "Oh, yeah, they're really overbred." I was like, "That's actually sad when you think about it." I was like,
"Oh, making you the cruel person having it."
Yeah,
oh,
I was just
right,
like, I'm gonna fuck yourself. I'm not gonna be now. I'm not gonna be bringing it.
Just be the polite thing. Go, "Oh, let me see a picture." Like, you know, that's
whatever.
That's why guys now are using dogs and puppies in their profile pics.
Or grannies. I always find that like they'll be like on.
They're
Tinder,
using the grannies in their profile pics.
Like their poor little grannies in the nursing home, and then it's like me and my queen, and it's like your queen, if she was aware that she's on a dating app would not be happy, but she like fully has dementia, doesn't know what's going on, and you've visited her for the first time in 6 months just to get a snap for your profile.
Or Lindsay and I also say another one is they'll be holding like a kid, and then in the little bio it'll be like not my kid. Lovely. So
then I'm like, I have kids in mine, I'm like, They yeah. are my kids.
I'm
a family man type, so you'll be okay with me. There's a huge amount of that. The double standards is a massive one, but the education thing. One bit of advice for women listeners mm-hmm. would be, and this is why we've had the biggest issues with women. This is the biggest issue we ever had with women is academic snobbishness. So,
okay.
you know, women will spend longer by and large in education than men. So for every one woman in Ireland who has third level education, there's only 0.6 of an equivalent male. Okay. Men don't put as much of an emphasis on it.
Because and of trades and things
yes,
like that.
Yes, trades, mm-hmm. farming, whatever else, entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship
yeah.
especially.
Yeah, big time. And so we'll get women every day, about 8 or 9 women that we have to say no to because they say, because I got that PhD from Trinners and the UCD, you know, masters, there's no way I'd meet him because I work in Davies, you know.
No.
And so we're like, oh God. The problem there is the one-for-one doesn't exist. And if you are judging the guy based on what he does and you're not looking at the emotional intelligence, communication skills, all that, and if you're equating intelligence solely with academic qualifications, you're really barking up the wrong tree and you will not. And that's why meet anyone. That's why there's so many 35 to 40 year old women that are single, because they are literally judging the guy based on what he does and what letters he has
and what he's already achieved and all that kind of
stuff. So if we're talking about, so the first date, dinner, second date, and that's gone well. You've gone home to your separate homes, no shagging.
So would you be on board with us? Me and Lindsay also say like coffee dates, fuck that shit. Like the 15 minute, like I know you.
We don't like a coffee date.
No.
Don't do coffee dates.
Yeah.
No,
like I like a more formal, evening setting,
a romantic setting of being.
Or lunches that people want to have a few drinks, so they want to get
the
train
a brunch.
Or bus, that kind
a
of
brunch
thing.
Kind of thing is nice. You know, a late lunch. But we're very anti. Like if a guy ever asked me for coffee, I'd say absolutely.
Oh, definitely not. No, that's way too transient, way too fickle, way too quick,
and
way too easy to leave.
It's just not sexy.
Not even butlers.
And like no, it's not. And you're just as a woman, like you obviously you're going to try and get done up and look nice for a date. But it's like you don't want to turn up looking like some weird high maintenance princess in heels at Starbucks.
Yeah.
You can get away with it even in a more casual.
And also coffee kisses are also always a no. Like coffee is not sexy. Like cocktails are sexy. The word cock is in it, but like coffee is not cute.
Well, coffee makes me so jittery. You're like talking like a mile
and
a
you're
minute.
Usually in coffee shops, like you're around like businessmen coming in and out. Yeah. And like, it's a very stressful environment. It's not like you're sitting down and actually relaxing and dining.
Oh, it's terrible.
So you go for a dinner for the first date or something relaxing like that. And then the second date,
once we do the feedback call after the first date, we find out whether Mary and Johnny want to see each other again. And if they do, we say, have you exchanged numbers already? And a lot of the time they will say no, or they will say, yeah, I actually did. And we spent 5 hours together and went for a walk on the beach the next day. We're like, cool, great. Do you want to go on pause? So you can pause your membership in here for anything up to 3 months to give yourself and Johnny a nice opportunity to see, is this going to develop
into
a relationship?
So you give a 3 month pocket.
Which
is a perfect pocket.
It is a perfect pocket. There's no need to be dragging it out for 9 months and realizing actually you're terrible.
Within 3 months.
You're not wasting so much time because that it would be frustrating if it was 9 months and they're like, at the end of the day, I'm not really looking for something.
And that's what a lot of people think like, how a lot of people think like in Ireland, they'll say, I'm in a relationship now the last 3-4 years. I'm 36, 37. Yeah, it's probably handier to be in the relationship than to be single again. It's an awful nightmare to be on the single scene
again,
wouldn't it be?
But they're not overly happy.
Not happy, but they'll still remain in that kind of semi-okay relationship that they both know they shouldn't, but they're thinking.
You said something earlier that stuck with me where you were saying like, oh, this girl went on a date with someone and he didn't drink as much as her. And then you were kind of like, do you not want happiness? Because sometimes I feel like that can be the other person in the relationship almost. It's like you're not just focusing on the fact that like you two really get on or are having fun. You're kind of like, oh, it's not really what I thought was going to be my life. I think sometimes people can be so restrictive with like, this is how I want my life to go and this is what I imagine my partner to be like.
Exactly.
And just ignore the fact that like you're getting on really well with someone. Like it's happened to me where like I've been dating guys and like we have so much crack, we get on so much, and then they'll be like, oh, I'm not really looking for something. Blah, blah, blah. And then it'll end and fizzle, or I'll just tire of that and I'll, you know, dip out. And then months later, I'll see that they're dating someone kind of normal or just like a little Eileen and like, oh, it's lovely and it's handy. And then they'll be sliding in my DMs being like, missy babes.
Yeah, of course, because it was fun, it was exciting, it was mad, it was crazy. And that's cool for probably some guys for a short period of time. But then they're thinking, but am I going to be able to bring this person back home? Is it going to be a down to earth? Is it going to be a quiet life? Is it going to be a simple life? Some guys just...
But then they have it and they...
I know.
Don't want it.
And then they want it again and when they got Eileen, and Eileen is boring.
Yeah.
I know.
It's just like a not knowing what you want, I guess.
It's scary to have, I think, like, I mean, I said it to a guy a while ago. It's like, you know, I had to very much cut off my parents idea of my happiness, mm-hmm. to be able to live a happy life. Like I did that very young age because like I got married at 21 because that's what they kind of wanted and stuff like that. And I was trying to live their life of like them being proud of me. But mm-hmm. then I realized very soon on that like it doesn't work like that.
No.
If I'm not happy, they're not happy at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So I think it is kind of sad in a way that like men who've been kind of mollycoddled by their mums are then like trying to live for their mum. Mm-hmm. You know, they might like someone, but they're like, oh, but me mammy would die if they knew I was dating someone like that. You know?
And we get calls from people younger and younger. The younger they are, like we'll get young girls calling and young guys, and they'll say things like, you know, I live in a very Catholic household. I am a staunch Catholic. I don't believe in sex before marriage. Is this going to be an issue for me? Or I saw you in the Irish Catholic magazine or whatever doing an article. So I agreed with every word you said. So I now think this might be the way for me. And I was like, yeah. But the thing is, we don't ask Johnny if he is okay not having sex before marriage. It's going to be a difficult thing for you to get. If we were to match you based on your criteria and their criteria, we don't say you're not to have sex before marriage.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Old Catholic Ireland is very much different to, like now the majority of our clients are RC, but they're lapsed Catholics. They're not running to Mass every Sunday.
What's RC?
Roman Catholic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're just, but they're like cultural Catholics. Yes. Like they're like, yeah, I made me confirmation. But
exactly.
It's like they're not practicing Catholics.
No. But they'll still have
the cultural kind of.
I still think I need to get married in a traditional church because what would my mammy or my father say?
Yeah. And I want to have my kids christened and communions and they want that like arc of their life to be so, which is, it's a weird one. I think number one, you should just cut off. I think men can be so like, what would everyone think if I'm with this kind of person, you know? Yeah. And I think we find that ourselves because Jenny and I are quite out there and, you know, different or whatever. So can we get into some questions? Like, I have some screenshots here.
Yeah, we'll end
here.
Off with some questions. As a dating expert yourself.
Yeah, so this kind of is like just what we were talking about. Yeah. So why do boys dump you and then want you back or like seek your approval? Or we got a lot of like men who will dump you or like be like not wanting you, but then they'll still kind of orbit your social media or your life or still kind of be there in some capacity, but they're not wanting to commit.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's down to the fact that the guy will eventually want to settle down with someone who they feel will be appropriate to their life, to their upbringing. But they love playing, you know, the bad guy for a short while. They love having the kind of crazy lifestyle, having the drinks, having the fun sex and having this, that and the other. But they just know that it's not going to be a long term thing. So that's why women need to be very prepared that guys will think with their, you know, an awful lot of the time. And if you're a woman looking for that long term committed relationship and you're thinking, yeah, he is keen because he's had sex with me now or he's done this or he's done that. Yeah, he probably just wanted that for a short term period, knowing it wasn't going to have long term sort of, you know, effects. And that's why be upfront from the very beginning and say, here, Johnny, I'm 30, whatever. I'm not interested in just one night stand. I'm happy to do that. The sex part, as long as you know that I'm in this for the long game, and then see the reaction. And if he's like, oh, actually, geez, no, I was just in it for the short term. Well, then, you know, there's your answer. And just, it's a little bit of just hold back until you know a bit more from Johnny. Because Johnny will, if he put the question to him straight up, he will have to answer. You look into his eyes and it's like, what is your
And you believe in them. Because I think a lot of girls, we get a lot of girls questioning kind of like, he says this, like he says he doesn't want a relationship, but we've been together 9 months and we have so much fun, but he keeps saying that he's not ready for a relationship. And I think that can be really confusing for women when it's like, but we're in a relationship. This is a relationship and you keep on kind of, you know, it's almost like the dominant of like, I'm saying it's not.
Like I'm
it's kind of like
maker.
A get out of jail free card. So do we believe them or do we just like try and keep going until they're like, actually.
No, I mean, call them out and just say, fine, you don't think it's a relationship? I'm gone. Good luck. And just play a little bit hard to get. I know I hate the mind games and that crap, but Johnny needs to be told, well, yeah, I'm gone now. You had me. I know you lost me. So
me and Lindsay do say that sometimes, unfortunately, men do need to be shown lessons sometimes. I think a lot of the times that men, like they actually say, if you're in that situation, like I think a lot of the time the guy actually has to see what it's like when the girl's not there.
Yeah.
Because when you're kind of also like hanging out with him and going on dates, but he's kind of saying, but this isn't a thing.
Yep.
You're kind of, you know, we've talked about it before in the podcast. It's like he's getting all the benefits of a girlfriend.
Exactly.
With the get out of jail free clause.
Yeah.
So it's like, you actually have to be like, okay, so if you don't want a girlfriend, I'm going to show you what it's like without me here whatsoever, with no emotional support, without me hanging out and having fun and being around your mates and being a load of fun. Because then they actually go, oh, okay, I thought I didn't want a relationship, but I actually, maybe I want a relationship with her.
But also she means business, and she isn't just bullshitting me here. And that's why every day I'll get girls calling up 35 to 40 and they'll say, I had a relationship with Johnny for the last 5-6 years. And here we are. Drops a bombshell on me and says, actually, I don't think I see marriage or kids in my future. Mm. And she's thinking, what the F have you done to me now? Wasted my 5 years of the most fertile or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And like, but it's not Johnny who's an evil bastard. He's not evil. He's just asleep at the wheel. And he doesn't know what the hell he wants half the time. But she needs to take responsibility and say,
of what
I'm
she wants.
Actually getting out of here now, because you're wasting my fucking time.
Yeah. I think it's like when guys try to do that thing of like, well, this is never going to be serious, or I don't want anything serious and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
fine.
A lot of the times I think a lot of women feel that they can be the one that will change his mind. Yeah. And maybe you can't. Like sometimes, like, I mean, I've gone out with guys where like that's been a thing, and then, but usually the only time that they've actually then been like, actually I want to go out with you, was when there'd be maybe 6 months of a break where I'm not around.
Yeah.
And they actually have to, like, I think men have to, they're so visual, they actually have to experience and see what it's like when you're not there, instead of being like, well, you have to ask me out by the end of the month or this is it. They'll just be like, well, you're in my apartment every day.
Yeah.
And some women do, some women do take that as kind of an amazing challenge. Wait till you see him now. You think he's a bit of a hopeless wonder? Wait, give me 6 months with him now.
I'll be the one to like change his mind.
This is an amazing challenge. And then it backfires massively a lot of the time, because your man just is a hopeless case that won't change.
And I do find that, like, a lot of the time, and maybe you'll be able to let us know if I'm right or not, but I think women are way more, we're way more flexible with a lot of things, especially with dating. I think that, like, even though we can feel like we, like, you could be like, I'm not ready for a relationship, but I find if women meet someone that they have a connection with, they'll reconsider.
Yes.
But men, I find, are way less flexible. Like, they'll be like,
very rigid.
Like, because we, there's an episode of Sex and the City where Miranda says, and we always reference it, where she's like, men will have like traffic lights. It's like red, orange, and when they're green, they're like, okay, now I'm ready. And would you agree with that?
100%. No, it's very, they've got they have a plan out.
It's like a taxi light.
Women can adapt, and they can multitask, and they can just say, okay, I was planning on this, but now look, that guy, he's thrown this ball in the air, and now I suppose I am a teacher, but I can be a teacher there as well. That the moving thing is a massive thing. Guys often say, sure, I'm a builder, or I'm a farmer, I can't move the farm. So they use that reason as why not to meet anyone outside in this local area. All these excuses. Women are much better at saying, no, I'm an educated woman, I've got this, I've got that, I can move here, I can do that.
More malleable.
Yeah.
Okay. We got another one. If someone ghosts you, should you leave it or ask for an explanation?
Well, ask once for an explanation, but then move on. And then, Jesus, like, if anyone's ghosting you, it depends on how long a relationship you had in the first place and how long you've been interacting. If it's been a long, drawn out, amazing, you gave him loads of deep and meaningful conversations, then yeah, I'd ask once and say, that was a pretty shitty thing to do. I'd like to know what it is that I did, or what maybe you're in a bad place right now, and that's okay too, but just to move this up forward so we can actually both progress and turn the page and move into the next chapter, be nice to know what actually happened.
Bit of closure.
But if it was a quick thing and it was a one night thing and then nothing, move on. They're just obviously just,
you don't want to look too desperate in a way,
and they're probably in relationships.
Too invested.
Yeah, they're probably in relationships, so they're probably married. A lot of the times they don't want to meet anyone at all. They just want to know they have options.
Or sometimes I find a lot of it can be like that they were kind of dating around and they've found one that they're kind of like, and then they're, it's just like, do you want to hear that? Where you're like, I actually preferred Emer. You're
exactly.
Like, oh God. I wish I didn't know that. I wish I just thought that you lost your phone.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Exactly.
So a quick one, do zodiac signs come into matchmaking at all?
Oh Lord. When the question is asked, we say, you're please stop.
Okay.
don't water sign me. No,
water sign.
No.
Really? And does that happen a lot?
The odd time, yeah.
And have you ever noticed like any like matches?
Truth
that,
in the matter?
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
honest to God. A lot of times the most poles apart people are the best people that end up married and happy out.
Do you think of that saying opposite attract?
And it does. It really does. Honest to God. We had this one person who was he was a abattoir owner and a beef farmer or whatever. And she was this like amazing, intelligent, 7 languages, fine wines, you know.
Oh my God.
And so she was a vegetarian as well. So he slaughtered and whatever. So we're like, but there's other things in their criteria.
He slaughters. She abstains.
so many today.
Yeah,
anyway,
so yeah. Many.
So anyway, they married and they got married in the same place that we did as a kind of a gesture of thank you.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Do you ever get invited to weddings, by the way?
The odd time, but mainly not, because an old Irish people, they won't scream it from the rooftop that they actually were with intro. They'll tell their friends on the QT, by the way, ring these guys in Grafton Street, they're all right.
Okay.
They won't say it because, and we've even had people in the past that would actually make up stories that they met on Tinder or met down the local bar, because it's easier to accept that.
Yeah. It is strange. I was on a date a few months ago and he met Jenny and Evan, and I could hear like Evan be like, oh, where'd you meet Lindsay? And he was like, just Instagram. And I was like, we met on Tinder. Why are you lying? Yeah. And he was like, oh, I was just being polite to you just in case.
Right.
And I was like,
save okay. Like, I don't think you're going to have an issue with saying Tinder.
Yeah, I was like, oh, honey.
Like Lindsay hangs out with me and my boyfriend so much. I'm like, he knows she's on Tinder. Trust me, Lindsay and I are like, Evan, give us some feedback. What do you think about this guy?
And we have cousins and everyone and loads of friends that we would have gotten together that we still can't make it obvious that we know.
Like, interesting. We need to take a leaf out of Indian and like Jewish people as well. They love a good matchmaker.
So newly single and navigating the world of online dating and just dating in general. Any tips on how to stand out? So a lot of questions on like getting back into dating after a breakup. So
So making sure that you're actually ready and you're happy and you are content with yourself and you're ready to actually commit to something. If the thoughts of going out on dates is worrying to you, or it makes you feel a little bit emotional, well, maybe work out the reasons why that is the case. If you go on a date, are you going to be prepared to be asked questions all about your ex and why things ended? Is that going to bring up a whole lot of emotions?
Are you going to start crying over your pasta?
Is it raw? And then if it is raw, then your answer is maybe I'm not ready right now. But if you feel content and confident and happy within yourself, and you're happy with the looks and you're happy with the personality and where your life is at in general, at work and family and friends and all that, well, then go for it. And just don't put pressure on yourself by thinking, what if he doesn't like me? What if I don't talk enough? What if I don't talk, what if I talk too much? Don't be so hard on yourself. Go out and think the worst thing that can happen is I make another kind of friend. I know you're not looking for a friend, but if you think of it that way, if you think of that, you don't apply the pressure and the anxiety to yourself that Jesus, now if he's not attracted to me now,
is this my soulmate?
Yeah, maybe my teeth should be more white, or maybe I should do this. Maybe I should lose weight. People always ask that: should I lose weight before I do this now for a girl? I was like, no, because you'll lose weight and then you'll want to get your teeth straightened,
or you'll lose weight, get in a relationship, and then gain relationship weight.
Double edged sword. So just get on with it. And there is someone. I know it's very cliche. There is someone for everyone, and there is always going to be a match for you, but you just need to make sure that you're not doubting yourself. And if you are doubting yourself constantly, why am I doing that? Do I need to talk to someone? Honestly, there's an awful lot of people, and especially now with anxiety, it's everywhere. We're hearing it nonstop on the phone. People just really conscious of where they're at, the loneliness. The loneliness is an epidemic level. Like before COVID, it was killing more people than cancer. That's probably the most depressing line I've said today.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
But it's true.
Loneliness, and it's a very very hard thing to admit
from any age, and like,
and you can be lonely in a relationship as well. In a bad relationship, there's nothing lonelier, I feel, than being in a relationship and feeling lonely.
Exactly, if they just don't get you,
it really is.
They don't get you, but like especially now, people are locked away and they're living in a large house with loads of roommates, and they're working and they're on their laptop 12 hours a day, and they're single. And like, Jesus, where's the end in sight? And then they're hearing lockdown. It's huge. Anxiety and a little bit of loneliness. It's gotten bigger and bigger. So if you're feeling capable of being out there and putting yourself out there and just having an enjoyable experience with someone, chatting and maybe wanting to take the next step, well, then you're ready. But tips, just be yourself. Honestly, it just sounds so cliche again, but just don't be trying to be anyone that you're not.
I agree with that. Just I always go into dates just full. No, like,
this is me.
Facade.
Like me or don't.
Yeah. And I think there's a balance of being like, being yourself, but not kind of putting all of yourself out on the table. This is me.
You don't have to vomit all over the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
it takes so much time to get to know someone.
Yeah.
You're never going to know someone on a first date. So just kind of like hold back a bit.
It takes 6 months to get to know someone. So no matter what you put on the table on the first date, like, even if you have a boyfriend, you can look back in the first date and be like,
That's it. And we had a guy who actually yesterday said to me, I was thinking, like, because I went to my first date and she's the one I'm now married to, but I have to admit, I was thinking now, since it's 5 dates, 5 options in intro, I wonder now, should I go on all the 5 dates and decide which one I want after? And we're like, well, then, you think the grass is greener, and then you realize the first one was the best one. And the first one's gone off with Johnny. So you lose out. So
do you find
careful.
That men or women are more kind of enticed by the options? Because I think women think that men are so obsessed, like, there's so much more choice now. We have 1,000 women in our pocket on Tinder or like wherever you want on Instagram. But I also think that women can be like that. Is do you notice who would be more?
Well, women in terms of in expectation wise, women will look for, the list is very long in terms of education, profession, height, you know, travel, culture, you know, just being there. There are more women in the 40s, 50s and 60s. That's why there's more. And when women pocket themselves in the urban areas, it's like a catfight to get the good guy. Mm. And they're like, where are all the men? I get asked that all the time. And I'm 50. Are there any men in your books? Like, well, we wouldn't be running a very good agency if we didn't have any men in our books. We wouldn't be here 10 years on Grafton Street. So yes, but the thing is they're looking in the wrong places and they're looking for the wrong things. And they're emphasizing all those things. Like, well, if he hasn't got a PhD, I've got 20 letters after my name.
They have more boxes to tick.
Way more boxes to tick. So if you find yourself being really picky and if your list is extremely long and you're the person that hears their friends saying to them all the time, Jesus, you really need to amend that. Your profile is outrageous. Mm. You're looking for everything and supermen don't exist. Stop having such a high bar for how good men should be. Just you be you, let him be him and see if there's actually...
And enjoy it.
Yeah, and just have a bit of fun and stop putting so much pressure on yourself.
So if you are looking for, which I'm sure a lot of people are, especially like you were saying after lockdown, if you're looking for something, you know, of length and you're looking for like a proper relationship, when do you have sex? When do you kind of get more, like how do you know that it... That we got a question of this. This is not
me. Oh, did we?
We got a few of these. So obviously we got a lot of the like, oh, I'm only getting one night stands. So now we know that is just a thing. So when is the right time?
Who's saying they're only getting one night stands? People who are only giving one night stands.
Okay.
That's the point. They have to stop wondering how is this happening. It's like,
well, it does happen as well when like you'll wait for the third date and then they'll ghost you too. Now that can just be like, look, I didn't enjoy the sex or.
Well, like I think what it is that like if. You know, what's that thing? The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over, expecting different results. So it's not that like one night stands are inherently evil and only going to get you bad men. But it's like if it's all you're doing and you keep doing it and expecting different results, like what's the harm in trying something different the next time? Like just for one time.
So that was the question. When is a good time?
Well, abstain until you know that you're on the same page and use your self-awareness. Like people nowadays, they're so clued in, they're so copped on and they're really aware of, you know, what they should be looking out for and the red flags. And if the guy seems disinterested in the conversation that you're having at your dinner, well, then he's probably not really all that invested in you and in it. And then when he all of a sudden perks up when it's bedtime, well, then you probably know. So just stop. Don't get hammered off your face drunk where you actually don't know what's going on a first date. And don't arrive drunk, obviously, with Dutch courage. An awful lot of Irish people do that. Yeah. And we're like, oh, here, chill out for a little bit. Yeah, have the crack and have your fun. But just make sure that you're actually aware of your senses and you're in control
100%
of what you're actually doing.
And you're able to, because I think that can be a reason why women get like, where people have one night stands because you're like having so much fun in the day. The drinks are flowing and then you're like, I'm in bed, you know.
I know it's silly, but here we go. Yeah, and
so keep your wits about you and like not getting obliterated drunk.
Yeah, but like not be all like, you know, Catholic about it, but like one night stands, fine, whatever you want to do. If you know that's what you're putting in for, don't complain about the guy being, you know, using you for a one night stand if you went out for a one night stand. If you're looking for a long-term meaningful relationship, something serious with, you know, a view to marriage, well, then you need to ask yourself, where am I going? What am I doing about this? Am I going to a pub on a Friday night and getting lambasted drunk? Am I going to Cafe and Zen? Am I going where? Am I going onto Tinder or Bumble? If you're looking for something long-term meaningful, put yourself into a pool of people that attracts people like that. And that's why we, after 10 years, it's now working hugely because every single person who's in it wants a long-term meaningful relationship.
Yeah.
And they pay for it.
So we had an idea. So we have X-Gals, which is our subscription podcast, which is juicier. So we thought maybe we could in the future set me up because I'm the only single one of the two of us and we could do a review then on X-Gals.
I like it.
Yeah. So when restaurants are back open, I'll give you my criteria, see if you can find me.
We'll have to hammer you
down on
certain
things. It ain't working for me. It ain't working for me.
It'd be interesting.
I'm seeing guys and they're like, you know, enjoying my company, but they're like basically not, you know, it happens a lot where they're just like, no, not a relationship. Or I'm not ready for a relationship. Or I don't see you as someone who I would be with for a long time. And I'm like,
Yeah, there are guys that will absolutely be suitable for you. They need to be confident. They need to be well able to carry themselves and hold their own. They need to be aware of who they are. And they need to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that they're not going to be able to call all the shots. And that needs to be okay with them. They need to be secure in themselves. And an awful lot of the guys that won't be okay with you are guys that are extremely insecure and maybe inexperienced in dating. and mm-hmm. they are just they're looking for someone to be submissive. They're the guys that will ring up and look for a foreigner. So fear not, life is good and you'll definitely have
okay,
success.
So shall we do that? I think that would be so fun.
I think it'd be really fun.
Because I would love to see who you would set me up with. Because I'm very much like, I don't have a type at all. Like, good. You know, so.
Lindsay's very open with her dating.
I am.
Yeah. I always say, don't have a type, just come in and have certain traits and qualities that are like, you know, no, they're deal breakers. Obviously, you're going to want someone who's kind of a family orientated kind of person eventually, mm-hmm. not on first date.
But Lindsay's very close to her family, so yeah.
Yes. And
like your spokeswoman.
Yes, I am, thank you.
I'm speaking on behalf of Lindsay and she's very
and
close
then
to
I would
family.
Also be able to take, so if I go on a date or whatever and we then you were saying that like you don't give feedback, but I would be able to take it. So I'll give you the feedback of how I went, and I would be able to take you to say you went wrong here.
Lindsay, you always say that that's something that she wishes she got more in dating is like a bit of feedback if it went wrong or like just in general.
Because I'm very okay. Like my armor doesn't get chinked that much. Like we get a lot of hate and it doesn't really chink my armor. So if someone was to say you were really this, you were really that, I'd be like, okay, great. I just won't do that again. You know, I would just take it on board rather than being like.
Well, if we get recurring feedback on a date from a person about another person, we will say, look, you know, Mary, it's come to our attention that you arrived to the restaurant and you could hardly walk.
Yeah. So if it's recurring, you will bring it up.
But not Mary.
God, could you imagine? Yeah. Thank you.
I'd like to pause my membership, please.
Yeah. But what some people will say is, you know, I had a nice.
Walk.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
I had to escort her to the taxi, that kind of stuff. We've heard all this.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if it's down to, I like the person, but I don't know why they told the joke about Trump and I just didn't find it, you know, funny at all. I was like, well, so I'm not going to go back to. Lindsay and say, why'd you say the joke about
a joke review?
A mix of
just silly. It
you
has
didn't
to be,
match humor or whatever.
Yeah. No, it just has to be a proper, meaningful things. And, you know, first dates for certain guys, they need to be told certain things that you think they don't need to be told. One guy went on a date and he was a country fella. And we heard this because this is why the woman joined us. He has his dinner, his chicken, his whatever else, loads of vegetables, and picks up the gravy boat and just drinks. A little bit of decorum goes a long way.
Oh, that would kill me. That
do you
would
know,
kill
my
me.
Sister loves gravy. I think she'd actually get a walk.
Fiona. No, Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, I had one other. Sorry. This guy ordered in this really nice restaurant. She ordered her nice three course, whatever, tasting menu. And and then he said a bowl of chips, please. And soup.
Oh my God.
To dip each
I
of
wouldn't
this.
Like that now. Yeah.
I like a guy who can eat good food and like I mean because that was I went on a date with a guy and he asked me why it wasn't happening again, and I give date reviews if they ask, and I was like, you know, you slag my food, you slag where I'm from, you said I was too posh, you said I ate like a rabbit and all this shit, it's not enjoyable. And it's just like, you don't get me. You don't fit in with who I am.
Well, if he needs to be told that, then there's a lack of self-awareness. Yeah. And he's dodgy. But no, this poor man dipped all the chips into the soup and sucked the soup off the chips, but didn't eat the chips. And then
he didn't eat the soup.
Didn't eat the chips.
So they were just soggy.
Lindsay would die.
I am snobby about food. I do like a guy who can use chopsticks and who can like order.
Well, cultured in that way. Yeah, you know, I remember like even I asked Evan before, like I was like, what are things that like girls do that like would turn you off on a date? And one thing he said, he's like, I hate it when like I go somewhere where like a really nice restaurant, she orders like a garden salad. He's like, he's like, I'm bringing you to a nice ass restaurant. Don't be getting like, I'll have the salad.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
like, I like a girl who can eat, you know, and like
who
enjoys
knows
food.
The menu and can understand
it. Or then he said in another time he brought a girl to like a really nice restaurant and I was like, you didn't bring me there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and he was like, she ordered like something off the kids' menu.
Oh, chicken nuggets.
Like chicken nuggets. And he was like getting another like a 7-course kind of tasting thing. And he was just like, okay, this is going to be not enjoyable.
We just don't.
We don't.
If
click.
It's something you enjoy in your life, but okay. So
So there's a plan. We've gone on now for an hour and a half. So girls, go.
You're a wealth of knowledge.
The Instagram. Drop the Instagram. Plug yourself. My God, Roisin, she'll kill you.
We're at Fergal and Rena and intro.ie, and I have a podcast, if that's okay to say.
Oh yeah,
of course.
Is This Why You're Single?
Oh
yeah. So we will. Put up your profile as well the day that this goes out.
It'll be tagged.
So
it'll
be on our Instagram, gals, so check out. But you were a wealth of knowledge. Probably the best dating advice I think we've ever got.
Stop.
No,
it's
honestly.
Great. Honestly, we're just very to the point, which we love. But thank you so much, Fergal. And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
You will.
Okay, bye gals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.